Yes, everybody, what's going on? My name's Stephen Allison, that's Turk, that's Jay, and that is Omar. What's happening?
You all right?
I'm all right, you all right? What have you been eating?
Sorry, I've been out shopping. It was like, it took me about 2.5 hours to do the shopping, so I've just had to have a quick tuna and cucumber sandwich.
Is that because you was arguing with people on Twitter while you was going around?
No, I see. I know what you're getting at here, mate. I did get tagged in something that was involved in your argument, which I don't know what.
Well, I don't argue with people on Twitter.
Sorry,
so
you don't argue. But I've learned the error in my ways.
Point out where people are wrong.
I triggered QPR fans yesterday by pointing out how sad and pathetic their fans were for cheering Aguero's winner against them in 2012. And I realised I haven't got enough time to argue with everyone because there's like hundreds of them just giving me dog's abuse. So I just sort of left them to it. And then they started arguing with each other, which was sort of nice.
Turk, what's happening?
Yeah, not much, to be honest. It's my last week of uni this week, so I've sort of just been scrambling to get all that done.
Got to get a proper job then, yeah?
Yeah, looks like it.
That's a nightmare, isn't it?
It sort of is, yeah, mate.
Oh, mate, there's nothing worse when you finish uni, you've got to get into the real world, man.
Yeah, especially when there's a global pandemic going on.
Yeah, well, I can only imagine.
Brother Omar, what are you saying?
Not too much. Same as Turk, really. Been doing uni work, shaved my head a bit more, taking the advice of you, Steve, you know. And I feel blessed. I feel so blessed with being shaved off.
Yeah, but that's still well longer than when I first met you.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. What, you had to do like Jay's, pretty much.
Did I?
Yeah.
What, completely bald?
Wow. While he's here and everything.
I know, mate. But, you know what I mean? Yeah. Come on. Don't do it half measures.
I did prefer it when it was a lot shorter. Did prefer it. It's nice when you have a lot shorter.
It's easier, isn't it?
Yeah. You just don't have to do anything. Do that. Yeah. So much better.
I think I crossed the road, Steve. I saw you walking towards me. I'm not being funny.
With my resting, happy, smiley face that I always have.
I think I'd wait up and I'd go, do you know what? I walk this way around.
I've titled this video The One That Got Away. Joe bottled it because we was going to call it The Ron That Got Away, but he didn't. Well, he didn't. He just fucking bottled it. Paul Scholes been talking about how close United came. Bit of an open secret, I think, that one, wasn't it? About Peter Kenyon basically fucked us with Ronaldinho. What's your thoughts on that before we get any further?
You can spend a lot of time talking about transfers that got away. And I think if we're going to talk about proper transfers that nearly happened rather than ones we just wanted to happen, then that is one of the ones that hurts the most because, as you said, it's an open secret. He very nearly came. And Ronaldinho was just ridiculous. And he sort of, the good thing about Ronaldinho is if you look at him now on YouTube, you've got his clips, it's just his highlights reel, it's just ridiculous. But that's what he was like week in, week out. He was just an amazingly skillful player. A bit of I don't want to sound, you know, all Brexit, but a bit of a typical Brazilian in the sense that he was a little bit crazy. But he delivered, he did. And he'd have shone at United. He'd have been just the sort of player the fans would have loved to have seen. And he would have, you know, won lots of trophies for us. You know, the flip side is we did get a different player around the same time. We went on to do some, I can't remember his name. Yeah, he did a few bits. So it's not all doom and gloom, but yeah, I would have loved to have seen Ronaldinho at United. It was just made for us, really. It's a shame that Peter Kenyon was too busy manoeuvring his move to Chelsea to care.
Yeah, I think it was either a case of he was manoeuvring to Chelsea and didn't care or deliberately sabotaged it as part of his move. So for those who aren't aware, I mean, are you two lads aware of what happened?
Yeah,
because he went Barca straight out, didn't he?
Went Barca,
yeah, but do you know why he didn't come to United? The negotiations?
No.
So, this is supposedly how it went down. Kenyon got on the blower to Paris, because that's definitely how you do it. Bonjour, je m'appelle Kenyon. Basically said, whatever the fee was... let's say 22 million, because it was in that ballpark. 22 million for Ronaldinho, and Paris went, "We," because that's French for yes, right?
Thank you.
And they said, "Okay, sound. We'll come down and conclude the deal in person." Why you need to do that? I don't know. It was old school. It was pre-internet days. Fax machines were all the rage, etc. So, Kenyon gets on probably Eurostar, probably first class, and goes to meet Paris. He gets to Paris. I imagine he had a briefcase. I don't know if he had a briefcase, but in my head he had a briefcase. He opened it and he went, "So then, about that £18 million transfer." And Paris went, "Fucking sacre bleu, get the fuck out of here. We said 22 million. Basically, that's that. So we tried to lowball him after agreeing a fee, is the long and short of it. And he ended up at Barcelona. You would actually, do you know, thinking about it, you go, "Do you know what? We got Ronaldo." And he went on to do what Ronaldo did. But we technically only had Ronaldo for like 5 or 6 years. I think we'd have had Ronaldinho for 5 or 6 years in that time. Because he did about 08, 09, he went royally off the cliff, didn't he? But he was... would you have got more memories out of an earlier prime Ronaldinho? And would a prime Ronaldinho have been someone that could have played with Rude, perhaps? Or Rooney, perhaps? Let's go down a what-if lane. What do you reckon?
I'll let the one of the lads go first.
I mean, I think it was different because how old was Ronaldinho at the time? Was he older than Ronaldo, I presume?
Well, yeah, Ronaldo was 18. Ronaldinho would have been... He's 40 now, and it was 17 years ago. He'd been 23. Oh, he's in his prime!
In his prime. Oh, my God. Imagine that with Rude as well and the skulls behind. Oh, been so good. Yeah, I think you would have got a different picture because, obviously, when we saw Ronaldo, he was, like, young. He was coming into quite an aggressive league in the Premier League with Ronaldinho. I mean, I think he just... It says it all really in the name, I think. You would have got what he delivered at Barca, I think, because we had the midfield to give him options as well and give the creativity to him as well. So, yeah, I think it would have been some good memories. Yeah.
It would have been like, Taylor, you mentioned it, Esty, you know, we had Ronaldo for 5 or 6 years. You can almost argue we had him for three, because for 3 years he was finding his feet, or 2.5 of those years. So we didn't have the Ronaldo that everyone knows and loves now for the first 2 seasons.
Oh, no, we had arguments on the terraces, mate. This fucking one-trick pony, if he dives again, I swear to God.
It was like, there was a time, like, maybe around 2005 when the jury was out, and it sounds crazy to say that, but it was. People were saying he's not cut out for the Prem. He's, like you say, one-trick pony. He's too soft. He goes down too easily. And it wasn't until after the World Cup in 2006 that he sort of steps up. So during that period, had we had them both, for example, and Rooney, Ronaldo would have been finding his feet. But Ronaldinho would have been, as you mentioned, in his prime. So
because we could have signed both, I think. Yeah. I don't think the Ronaldo budget affected anything else.
Exactly,
oh my! Imagine one of them on each wing.
Rooney in the middle, or Rude, or whatever. However you want to do it. It would have been ridiculous. We would have had
need four
banned.
Balls.
You would have had to ban us because it would have been unfair. Do you know what
I mean?
It would have been amazing.
Getting him in his prime as well. I think, after Ronaldo came, like, United obviously didn't win the league for another, 3-4 years. If you get Ronaldinho in his prime back then, probably instant success. Because United weren't far off, as soon as Ronaldo joined. I think there was a few seconds, a third.
You got to remember some of the teams that we had in that time. They were just shit, to be honest. You look through the 11, you go, "Oh yeah, we played Kieran Richards in left back. Oh yeah, it was, we're trying to find a partner. Rio was good, but you paired him with Mikel Silvestri. We signed as a left back. You know, we've got Alan Smith in midfield / forward. Like, we had. I watched something the other day. I don't know why I put myself through this, but it literally had Kleberson. It had Jemba Smith, I think. Do you know what I mean? You just look at it and you go, no wonder we were shit.
Was it, have you seen the team? I think we played Arsenal in the League Cup, I think it might have been. And the team was like Liam Miller, God bless him. Jemba, Kleberson, Bellion. It was just like, Alan, you're like, how is this a United team? Even our reserves shouldn't be this bad. But it was that time when Fergie was just like buying loads of youngsters. But amongst all the you know, the dross was Ronaldo and Rooney as well. He was already tailor-made, really. He was already an established star, sorry. So, yeah, so I've had Ronaldinho at that time. Great. It's funny, though, because you mentioned, like, Peter Kenyon and what went wrong there, and it does confuse me a little bit and annoy me, because it was the same with the Ian Robbins situation, wasn't it? You know, that was a done deal, and all of a sudden, it didn't happen, and then Kenyon goes to Chelsea and Robin goes with him, almost, or goes after him, I should say. So, it is a bit suspicious that these deals that were supposedly done deals went out the window at a time when our chief executive knew he was going.
How much did Ronaldo cost, out of curiosity? Was it like
12 million quid?
And then how much did Ronaldinho cost Barca? Like 25 mil?
Low 20s.
Imagine you could have got Ronaldinho and Ronaldo for like 37, 38 mil combined.
So around that time, here's what United did in terms of the transfer market. 2000 to 2001, signed no one and won our third title on a bounce. Let Teddy Sheringham go. Berg went. A few others went. 2001, summer 2001, signed Rude and Veron. And I thought, fucking forget about it. We're going to do bits forever.
That's ridiculous.
The following summer, 2002, signed Rio. The following summer, signed Ronaldo, as well as Ainz, Saha, Smith, Cleberson, Jemba Twins, Bellion, Dong. Bit of a mixed bag of a summer. But look how many signings we made in that, right? So we also signed Lee Martin and Liam Miller, but they weren't really first-team players. I guess Miller might have been. Miller, Ainz, Alan Smith, Saha, Dong, Ronaldo, Cleberson, Tim Howard, Jemba Twins, and Bellion. 10 fucking players in one summer, 2003. And we let Beckham go and Veron go the other way. The following summer, brought in Giuseppe Rossi for the reserves and some kid called Wayne Rooney, who don't know what happened to him. The following summer, we brought in Park and Van der Sar, and then in the January, brought in Vinic and Evra. Fuck me. I know that some transfers are hit and miss, but that was 5 years of building a squad there. You know, right away from Rio. Rude, obviously, ultimately didn't work out in the long term, but was pretty effective while he was there. And then, obviously, he brought in Michael Carrick in 06, 07. And then you had a great window in 07, 08 with the Silva twins, Hargreaves, Anderson, Nani, Tevez, and obviously Thomas Kuchar, which was the cherry on the icing, really, wasn't it? But you just think, fucking hell, that was why you had a squad. You throw Ronaldinho into the mix there in the summer of 2003, as well as all of them. Pre-Wayne Rooney, you've still got Rio there. You've got Giggs and Scholes, peak careers. I think he won the Ballon d'Or in 05, or he was like FIFA Player of the Year, like 05, 06, 07. That was peak Ronaldinho. That was what the fuck is happening, Ronaldinho. And that was around about the time Ronaldo was coming into his own as well. So, it would have been mayhem.
There's a, you know, not only is there maybe another title in there, there's another stab at the Champions League in there, if you get him. Do you know what I mean? I mean, he was that good. And you saw the games against Chelsea where he sort of stepped up. He definitely would have done it in the Prem, there's no question about it. He did it against England. He could have done it against anyone. And was it Barca? They won it in 2006, didn't he, against Arsenal? So there's no reason why he couldn't have lifted us to those sort of levels, considering the squad that we had and some of the players we had. Okay, yeah, there was a lot of garbage there, but I think Fergie's a sort of thought, you know, I need to rebuild. If I buy enough players, some of them will be all right.
Dan in the comments says, reportedly, nearly / could have, R9, Ronaldinho, Kaká. I don't know of any attempt at Kaká. Adam and Sam Holmwood met Ronaldo and said, like, how close was you ever signing for United? And he was like, never. They never came in for me. You're like, oh, that's pretty conclusive. Ronaldinho, obviously, is a little bit of a different story there because it was all agreed and Kenyon fucked it. Who else is there, do you reckon, out of the nearlies that we nearly signed? Because when I interviewed Martin Edwards, he told me Batty Stewart was in the bag.
That's the one I was going to say, Batty Stewart. Remember that goal against us in, like, what was it, the second minute or something? Mate.
Batty Stewart, because Italian football was huge. It's not it's not really comparable for now, because you fuckers can go and watch the Belarusian Premier League, right? You couldn't do that in the '90s. You didn't do that. Like, United was linked to Marcelo Salas at one point, right? Who is he? I don't know. I don't think I've even seen him play more than one game at the moment. But we were linked to him, and the papers were talking about him. But it wasn't the same with Batistuta, because everybody watched. Like, at the moment, you could say everybody watches Soccer Saturday or everybody watches Match of the Day. Well, Italian football on Channel 4, Football Italia, everybody watched it. Everyone who was a football fan watched Football Italia. So we all had opinions. Like, Gazza going out there was a big part to play in that. But we all had opinions on Lombardi. We had opinions on Batistuta. We all like love that Milan team, you know. We've seen Vieri and, you know, fucking Vialli and Ravanelli.
You mentioned it earlier, Steve, with Veron. You know, when he was in that Lazio team, Veron, when we bought him, that now would be like us buying De Bruyne. It would. Yeah. He was just the best at what he did. And when we got him, I was convinced that, like you were, Steve, I thought that's it. He just didn't work out for him. But yeah, no, you're right. I mean, there was some proper gems in that.
And Batistuta was one we all loved. Everyone was Batty Gall, mate. He was a fucking absolute baller. And there was always rumours United was in for him. So when I spoke to Martin Edwards, who was United chairman at the time, and I said, you know, is there any ones that you overruled Fergie on? And you said, we're not having him. And he said, yeah, actually. And he said, Batistuta, and my heart sank. And I was like, shit. We was actually close to getting Batistuta. And he told me to crack, and he said, basically, players used to come to us and tell us what they wanted as a wage, and we would either agree or disagree on that wage. Batistuta came to us, and he's like, that's my wage. And he was like, fucking hell, that's going to obliterate our wage structure, because United, you don't believe this, but United used to have a very strict wage structure under the PLC, and Roy Keane broke it because he wanted 50 grand a week, which is mental to think that now. But at the time, he said Batistuta was like, oh, that's going to murder our fucking thing. And he went, oh, that's after tax, by the way. That's what I want. And then he went, yeah, all right, we're not going to do that. And he said, and there was just no moving on it. And he goes, we probably could have afforded it at the time. He goes, I just made a decision that I didn't think it was the sensible thing for us to do. So I overruled it and said, we're not getting him. And I was like, fucking hell. So I said, it was done. He goes, yeah. He goes, I sat down with his agent. He goes, he was happy to come as long as we paid the money. And you're like,
that hurts, man. That hurts. Do you know what I mean?
The only other one that I would want us to have gone for is R9, but, you know, by the sounds of it, we never did.
People use that, don't they? They say R9, but I don't know how realistic that one was, to be honest with you.
Wasn't Gazza close to joining us as well at one
point?
Yeah,
Spurs offered him a sunbed.
Yeah.
He agreed, didn't he, with Fergie? Gazza agreed. Fergie went on his holiday, and Gazza said, when you get back from your holiday, I'll sign for you. And when Fergie was on his holiday, he read in the papers that he signed for Spurs. Because apparently, not a sunbed, but Spurs bought his mum and dad a house in London and that, and just wooed him.
With a sunbed.
Yeah, with a sunbed, with a solarium.
Shearer shook hands on it, didn't he? Agreed he was getting the number nine, agreed he'd take penalties. Yeah. There was a few things with Shearer.
Yeah.
Shearer, what was that 95, 96 season? So summer of 95?
Well, there's twice 96 Shearer,
wasn't that? 97?
There was from Southampton to Blackburn, we missed out on him.
Yeah.
And then there was from Blackburn to Newcastle.
Hmm.
So twice. I mean, I think the one you're talking about, Steve, was the second time round. I mean, I might be wrong. But I'm not being bitter, because he scored loads of goals. But you get Shearer, you don't get Eric. It's that simple.
First time round.
Yeah. And you know, and you get Shearer, and I know people go, oh, Ollie and all the rest of it, but you look at how it went, the treble and all those titles. Does it go like that if you buy Shearer? Maybe not. You know what I mean? So I don't think.
Or maybe better. Maybe if we'd have signed him the summer of 96, we beat Dortmund in 97. You know, we go one stage further in 98. We could have done what that team. I don't think this is being giddy. That team could have done what Real Madrid have just done, I think. It wasn't far off.
Yeah, I think...
He'd like a lot of luck in the cups.
Maybe he could have elevated us. Maybe if we've got him in 92, he could have elevated us when we had that free foreigner rule, because that just scuppered our European chances.
Yeah.
He's obviously English, you know. So you don't know, but I don't... I mean, I think out of the two of us, I think Shearer should be more disappointed. What is it, one trophy in his career? He would have won a lot at United.
Would he? Yeah.
Was it 96 where we missed out on Shearer and got Solskjaer instead?
Yes.
Got that second time.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a shame because, again, someone that would have just absolutely banged in loads of goals at United and the fans would have loved him. But
who else was close? Bale, I think, was there?
I can give you some insight on the Bale one. I spoke to his dad.
Go on.
His dad was at a trial day one of my mates put on in Stockport. And he's got some younger brothers. I think they're twins, Bale, Gareth has. I can't remember what they're called. They can't be that good because he was at a trial day, which is for generally released players. There was a kid there, though, actually. If you do a bit of YouTubing, there's a kid called Madin Mohamed, which is like the next fucking Zidane or something like that. There's loads of videos of him from when he was six. Well, at 12, United signed him and on the same day sold him to West Ham. That happened. I was there when that happened.
Perfectly legit.
Yeah, doesn't look dodgy as fuck at all. And the best thing is, City paid for his travel, because I think he's Moroccan. City paid for his travel to come to the trial so they could watch him. United signed him before he left the pitch and then had sold him to West Ham before anyone had had the tea. Fucking brilliant. Anyway, so Bale's old fella. You know the Arsenal striker, Kev Campbell?
Yes.
So I know Kev. Played snooker with Kev and stuff.
Yeah, we had him on Devils a few months ago.
Yeah, he's ace, Kev. And we were just talking general football and this, that, and the other. And he goes, you go speak to him there about what's happening with transfers. And I said, who? And he goes, it's Gareth Bale's dad. I was like, no way is it. So he introduced us and said hello. And I said, oh, is he coming to United then or what? And he goes, nah, I don't think so. He said, United have offered. He said, they've offered whatever cash. He goes, and I think they've offered Chicharito and somebody else. He said, but his heart's set on going to Madrid. And I was like, all right. And he goes, I think he'll play for you lot one day, though. And you're like, fuck. So every time you see a link with United and Bale, it's in the back of my head.
Have you seen that? No. That's one. Have you remember one about John Terry as well at Old Trafford as a kid? Getting wooed by. Have you not seen the pictures? Can I share it? I don't know how I can share it on here because I'm not hosting. If you Google
WhatsApp it to me and I'll be able to put it on.
Yeah. He was a big United fan, John Terry, apparently, when he was a kid. I think he was a midfielder to start with. I'll WhatsApp this to you now, Steve. And United obviously monitoring him. And I think his dad was a Red as well. So even though we were obviously...
Well, he won the double for us, didn't he? So fair play to him.
yeah, exactly. So we tried to sort of woo him, brought him down to the ground and all the rest of it. But he just fancied Chelsea. I don't think he was up for moving to sunny Manchester. But, you know, the rest is history. I'm just sharing this with you now, Steve, so you can see the picture of him and his family with Sir Alex.
I bet if you was someone that could sit on the gate at United, fucking hell, it looks like his dad, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I bet if you could sit on the gate and just see every fucker that came through that door, there'd be hundreds of players that you recognise. That just come even just for a minute, for a day, you know, for a trial, for this, that and the other. I'll put this on the screen now. There you go. That's John Terry with Fergie. And a Premier League double. So that must have been about 94-ish then, I'm assuming. 94, 96.
I think so, yeah.
Looking at Fergie, I'm going to say 94.
Apparently, it was like I said, his dad was keen for him to do it. He was sort of like set on the fence because he liked United. I think he was United fan, but Chelsea managed to convince him. But, you know, like you said, we wouldn't have had Moscow.
Wasn't there like a similar transfer? Wasn't there the Jono B. McCall thing? He was close to signing for United, wasn't he?
He did.
Did a press conference in a United shirt.
Yeah. And then he had he was dubbed like the African Pele at the time, wasn't he?
Didn't he say that he went missing, didn't he, after he signed?
Yeah.
And claimed that we'd bullied him into it and that he didn't want to sign for United after all and he'd been forced to and all this rubbish. And end up going to Chelsea. But I think it's one we can live with, personally. It's a bit more gutting about Essien, because we had Essien, didn't we? We couldn't get a work permit. And I thought he was a really good player.
Do you remember in the 90s, we was after signing some Brazilian fucking defender called Celio Silva?
Rings a vague bell.
I don't even think he played for fucking Brazil.
That's right, bad times, isn't it?
I played 11 times for Brazil. We couldn't get a work permit for him. He never played 100 games for anyone. So he played 40 at Vasco da Gama, 26 at Internacional, 34 at Cannes, 47 at Corinthians, which is where we was he was when we were trying to sign him. I remember there was a picture of him outside the Bridgewater doing a medical, and we couldn't get a work permit for him. Oh, there you go. While at Corinthians, Celio Silva agreed a £4 million move to Premier League champions United in July 94. However, United couldn't obtain a work permit. As the Home Office claimed, despite being a regular for Brazil the last 2 years, he hadn't played enough matches for Brazil, and it fell through. And we bought Henningberg instead.
Thing is like, there's a lot of these players that you miss out on and things, and you think, oh, when they were young, especially. But you got to remember, our academy's always been pretty shit up at producing talent to go straight into the team, especially under Fergie. So a lot of these youngsters, you know, Fergie's looking at it, and okay, sometimes he'll have got it wrong, but he must look at it and go, well, is this kid I've got here any better than Scholesy, or is this kid here I've got and going to do a better job for me than Beckham is? So, you know, you think about the amount of players a manager sees, and you think about Fergie's record, especially compared to Wenger, who let Ibrahimovic go, Ronaldo go, Yaya Toure go. You know, Fergie got it right far more often than he got it wrong.
Yeah, imagine letting Ibra go.
That's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, that's just...
That's it, Joe, for all insane. Of the Wenger nearly signed 11 that he's got, which is basically the FIFA Pro greatest 11 of all time. For all the nearly signed, you had a 500 career goal striker and what, put him on trial.
I mean, there's that. And then you had Kolo Torre's better brother in an Arsenal top kicking a football for you. And Cole Torre was like, your player at the time was going, he's better than me, he's mint, look how good he is. And you went, nah, well, not for us. And then he goes to Barca and wins the treble, and goes to City and wins however many titles.
One of best Premier League midfielders. And if anything, if you looked at what Arsenal lacked throughout Yaya Torre's career, probably a Yaya Torre. Literally, if you just went...
You know what I mean? I get annoyed that we didn't buy Yaya Toure, that we didn't push the bank and break the bank with the wages and just do what City did and just got him. But to have had him on a trial or whatever, and have his brother as your player when he's a kid, and he's going, nah, he's not for us. Mate, that's just ridiculous. That's like sabotage that. That's like you don't care anymore.
If Arsenal, when was it? 98 won it or something, something like that. Was it 98? No, I mean 2000-ish when they had Ibra. When was it?
It was early on in his career.
So it was early like, when he was at Ajax, wasn't it? Somewhere.
Yeah, it was. I think it was before that, even.
They almost signed Ronaldo.
2000 it was. So he
nailed it.
What was it? 17, I think. So, yeah, 2000. If they'd have had Ibra for 10 years of that and Yaya Toure for 10 years of that, they might have actually retained a fucking title.
Maybe.
Didn't they only sign Ronaldo as well?
Allegedly, but that was that. It sounds like Liverpool nearly signed him, Arsenal nearly signed him. Well, guess what? We did sign him, so shut the fuck up. Signed FC.
I think in terms of ones who got away, I think probably the most recent one I can think of is obviously Toni Kroos. Yeah. That was still a
shout out.
Yeah, it could have been very different for Moyes.
Do you reckon possibly? That was a well? It was under Louis. Moyes signed him, but it was to arrive for Louis.
Yeah,
Moyes signed Shaw, Toni Kroos, and somebody else. Might have been under Herrera.
I thought Moyes tried to sign Kroos, but when he couldn't, he went for like Kadir and then Fabregas, and obviously got Fellaini in the end. But...
No, Kroos was done. Kroos was done. Like Kroos has spoke about it recently, like. He'd agreed everything with United. I don't know who the fuck he agreed it with. And then Louis turned up and he went, right, we've signed those players for you. And he went, all right, yeah, keep him, fuck him off. And then he didn't go for it.
Change of manager that Crowe said that made him not sign for United. I think he said it recently, didn't he?
Yeah, it was Louis had him and didn't rubber stamp it. That basically United went, we've agreed deals with all of these lot. Who do you want? Do you want them or not? And he said no to Toni Kroos.
That wouldn't be as bad if it wasn't for the fact that then Van Gaal ended up playing Rooney in midfield, dropping under Herrera 4 months and having Di Maria up front. And it's like, that, you know, that makes no sense whatsoever to do all those things. And you could have had Tony Cruz, but you didn't want it. When you were sat there going, I've got to play Wayne Rooney midfield tomorrow in the option.
What a brilliant person to take on the mantle from Carrick and pass it and move it forward. Tony Cruz is perfect.
That's what I mean, man. It's just like...
When, did he have him at Bayern? Did he know him from Bayern? I don't think he did he?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I think
wondering what the prejudice against him was.
When we signed Van Persie, was it a choice between him and Lewandowski? I feel like it was.
I don't know about that. Obviously, Evra's sort of popped it out in the press, hasn't he, lately, that Van Persie wasn't our first choice. Wasn't a bad second choice, let's be honest, but wasn't our first choice in terms of who we brought in. Lewandowski, it was Blackburn he'd signed for, wasn't it, and then couldn't get over because of the ash cloud from the Icelandic volcano. The fuck?
I'll tell you a story, right? When I was a local reporter in Lancashire, I used to cover like Blackburn, Preston, Blackpool. You know, it was just an exciting time in my life. And there was this story doing rounds with the reporters that I heard that when Moyes was at Preston, he rang his scout and he said, "I want you to go over to. Have you got a passport?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah." He said, "I want you to go over to France because they had a striker sorted at Preston." He said, "There's a young striker there we can get like on the cheap. I want you to go and get him." And he was like, right, okay. And then Moyes rang him back an hour later. He went, you know what, forget it. He had a striker. I think it might be Jamie Proxman, whatever his name is. Can't remember. Preston had a striker who was injured, but he passed the fitness test and he was like, listen, I'll be all right. So Moyes rang his scout back and went, listen, forget about that deal. It doesn't matter. And he was like, all right, no worries. He's like, out of curiosity, who is it? And he's like, some lad called Didier Drogba. Didier Drogba could have ended up at Preston North End. That could have been his route into English football, playing under David Moyes.
But you can also go tits up from that point as well. Like, well, if you don't get utilised,
and
just fucking falls out of the league. Insane.
You know what I mean? It's madness, wasn't
Ronaldinho close to signing for Blackburn as well? There was a story about that, I think.
I don't know. Well, the thing is, like, we laugh at Blackburn because now we think of him as sort of cannon fodder for a championship relegation battle. But
they were doing bits when they had Pedersen and stuff like that, and Two Guy
was mint. He was absolutely
Rocky mint. Santa Cruz as well.
Yeah,
When they got Shearer and around that area, they were spending loads of money. So they've always, you know, with Jack Walker's millions, they had a lot of money behind him, and obviously they won the title as well. So not like they were just some tin pot like small little club like they've gone back to now.
Yeah, it's insane, isn't it? Where some of these players' careers, like, you can get unbelievable. You hear it a lot of, like, you know, Football Manager did a documentary a few years ago and they wouldn't have ever got him. But who was it? Fucking, it was a Birmingham manager years ago. And basically his lad would keep coming to him and going, look, there's this fucking kid on this game. And he turns out well good. He's only 16. Go get him. Like, he'll be absolutely quality, trust me. And he was like, nah, he was not going to fucking sign someone off a video game. Like, it was Messi.
Stop it.
But you wouldn't have got Messi out of Barcelona at 16, so it's almost a moot point, isn't it? So,
Yeah, and there's ones that just weren't. There's like the one with Figo and City when City was shit, and Malcolm Allison rang City up and went, because he was living in Portugal, and went, there's a player here, like, playing locally, who's mint, called Luis Figo. You should get him. Right, and City, but they were never going to get him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because
how many of them are George Weah's cousin? How many of them are Ali Dia?
Yeah, exactly. Like, how many times, like, remember when people were having to go at Fergie because he could have got Joe Hart for £1 million? And it's like, you remember it? Like, oh, he had the opportunity to sign for £1 million, he passed it up. I think, how many keepers does Fergie see? And, you know, he would have seen Joe Hart, okay, he's a good keeper, but was he like a world beater as a kid? Probably not. He's probably looking at him in comparison to what we had and what was available and thinking, no, I'm not going to spend £1 million because I'm getting offered keepers all the time. It's just like, it's easy to second guess some of them, but, you know, you've got to, like you say, how many times do you get told, oh, the next big thing or this player I've seen is going to be amazing, especially when you're United, because the levels are so high. Me and you did a thing, Steve, when on your channel a few months ago, you named your worst United player as is it Sidibe or Siddiqui? I forget his name.
Oh, El Fattori.
The one that Phil Neville scouted.
Yeah, he's the worst fucking footballer I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, and Phil Neville's saying to his, you know, his contacts United, this kid I've got down here at Soccer Dome playing five-a-side with me is amazing. And, you know, Steen Age is the worst player he's ever seen play for Manchester United Football Club. So that just shows...
Like, Steen's better than Phil Neville. Fact.
It's like... I mean, yeah, I think the key words there are Phil Neville. But, you know what I mean? It's like, how many times does an ex-player or a scout or someone say, you know, it's like when we've... I know we're going back a long time here, but John Barnes could have signed for United. Fergie was offered him by Graham Saylor. And the head scout said to Fergie, no, he's a one-in-three player, and Jess Brolton's better. And it's like, I know it sounds crackers now, but Fergie said, I think Fergie sat the scout on the back of it, actually. I think he said, like, he didn't take enough chances with players for my liking.
Was that when Barnes was at Watford?
Yeah, because Graham Saylor knew he couldn't keep hold of him. He ranked Fergie's mates for him and said, listen, you know, he's yours for 700 grand or whatever it was. I can't keep hold of him. He's going to go this summer. You can have him if you want him. Fergie, like, got a scout report. He's in his book. I think it's in Managing My Life, his first book as United manager. Said that the scout said to him, he's very inconsistent. So he didn't get him.
Hang on, let me put this on. Alex has just put this in our WhatsApp group. I like it. These are the sort of loopholes I'm fucking here for.
Cool.
Like, Joe, you're allowed to go to the garden centre, aren't you? And yeah. There's a couple of places that your happy days go into and stuff like that during lockdown. Tell me in the garden centre, son. I'm sorry, I know that's totally off topic, but I just seen it flash up and I was like, fucking hell, is this season about here? Yeah, fuck it. To be fair, that's something that I would like to try and do with Paddock. We've had some good youngsters come up already and sort of train with us for Paddock FC. Obviously, we've not played a game. But, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-olds that have been dumped out of academies or haven't even had an opportunity to be looked at by an academy just because of the route they've taken to get to where they are. And I've got a couple of decent links with Salford, some of the coaches at United and stuff like that. And I think if... I need to know what that level looks like on my training pitch, and then you can spot it, can't you? Because you can look at someone and go, "He's the fucking best kid we've got," but where does that stack up? That might be that might be five times worse than AlphaTauri. Until you see AlphaTauri on your pitch, you've got nothing to gauge it off, innit? So, you know, I'd love to be able to. One of the functions of Paddock FC that I would really like it to be is to be flipping people back up into the football pyramid, like, and giving them another chance, because obviously it's going to be quite a visible football team because of YouTube. I hope that's one of the functions that it ends up performing, and I hope that helps us recruit people as well, because they'll come to it for that. But yeah, fucking AlphaTauri was dog poo, mate. And Joe, another one as well, which I didn't say it while I was at the club, because I changed my fucking methodologies after a conversation I had to have with Callum Gribbin, that I just wasn't going to slag off youth players.
Do you know what, though? If you're saying that, if you're saying that's my sort of MO, that's my motto or whatever my sort of ethos is, I don't slag off youth players while I'm at the club, fair enough.
So,
you know what I mean? It's like...
While they're academy players,
get
to the first team, fine. But once you're in the academy, you're learning your trade. So I just said, look, this is what I'm going to be doing. And so many people, especially American viewers, because they're excited. They've got an American in the squad. How's he getting on? How's Alisunde? Right, I'm just ignoring that question. Let's keep fucking going. Because if you'd have asked me, Jay, let's role play. Ask me about Alisunde.
Steve, that lad Alisunde, how's he getting on for United?
Fucking second worst player I've ever seen in a United shirt.
Well, that's a bit of a confidence booster for the lad, isn't it, eh?
No, I'm saying. So, I made a decision that I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah,
but
no.
It was fucking shit.
I spent years going the completely other way and just overhyping every young player that I've seen, starting with, like, Simon Davies and Teddy Cook. Then the new Kings, the new Beckham, Makeda's the new Andy Cole, you know, Cameron Stewart's the new Pele. I had a dark time in my life where I just thought everyone had a half decent game for the under-23s or the academy. Yeah, he was going to do massive bits for United, and it just obviously didn't always work out like that.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens sometimes, quite often, actually.
When are the away shirts coming out, Steve? The palette.
You mean these ones?
Yeah, those ones. They're so nice. Oh.
It is nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you are a member of the Stretford Paddock memberships on YouTube, if you're in the Legends tier, you will be getting sent that on the 1st of July, I think. Yep, 1st of July. You'll be getting it sent because we've got your sizes. It'll just be going. So everyone who's a member in June, you get that at the start of July. If you're just a regular member or you're one of my patrons, you'll be able to buy it from the 1st of July. The rest of the general public, not getting it till August.
Aww.
Keeping it special for everybody.
Are you getting a sponsor sorted through, or are you just leaving it sponsorless?
We got some sponsors. I'll be putting two versions out. Sponsors aren't confirmed yet because we don't know when we're fucking playing yet. So it's quite hard to confirm sponsors. Well, we're still not actually officially confirmed in a league, for starters, so that's an issue. And obviously, we don't know when that league's going to start or which decade it's going to start. So as soon as those things have aligned, we'll show you the sponsors that we've got. Some pretty good ones. Quite impressive ones. Quite surprising ones as well. And we'll do two versions. So you'll be able to buy this version, Bosch, which is just the clean one, and you'll also be able to buy the sponsored one as well. The we're going to call that our Sunday League version because we're going to do some Sunday League, which might, I mean, let us know in the comments, are you interested in this at all? The Sunday League is probably going to be Joe Smith and Andy Tate taking control of a football team, which is that about, like, is that top tier craziness of everything that could happen with a football team?
Yeah. What I love about Andy is, I remember I was watching the game where you played, when you was managing, and Andy was like your sort of de facto mascot slash assistant against, was it Arsenal fan TV or whatever, and how seriously he took it just was hilarious. He was actually like getting really angry and excited about it, like he does.
Of course
about
he was. That's what's going to make him fucking entertaining. What about that, Jay?
I'll tell you a little story, right? My tenure, my missus calls me John Terry, not because I'm racist, but I was, we had a team, like an 11 side in the business league, and I was like the assistant manager. And we got to the final at Hyde, where I think you might be playing. We got to the final anyway, and we were getting beat 4-1. So with 2 minutes to go, I brought myself on just to get me runners up medal. Because I can't do any damage that two minutes ago. Yeah, but no, that's the levels I'm at. I'm not. I wasn't good enough when I was 20, let alone at 40. So no, I won't be playing.
Boo. Ross, when's the next football manager coming out? I don't know yet. I have to film it. anything with Andy is quality. Managed by Andy Tate, love it. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I think I don't know what it's going to look like. Joe's going to captain it, and Andy's going to manage it, and I'm just going to leave him to it.
But it's going to look like some sort of acid flashback. That's what it's going to be like. What is happening here?
The Sunday League team will be playing in a sponsorless kit for obvious reasons. And if it's not obvious, think about it. brand association, etc. Anyway, the first team in the reserves will be playing in, and the academy team will be playing in that. But we're going to be ramping up recruitment for staff, for coaches, for players especially, as soon as we find out when we get let out. Power League actually mentioned something earlier where they're like, we think we're going to be playing in July. I'm like, I fucking don't. I've literally no idea when we're going to be playing football again. Obviously, the Premier League's coming back in a couple of weeks because it's worth hundreds of millions, and that therefore protects the players from getting ill. But when does amateur sport come back?
Well, exactly. I mean, for starters, the Premier League, we've discussed that, so we won't go down that rabbit hole. But if they're coming back to talk about all these constant testing and, you know, sending people out into the desert to play or whatever, which obviously amateur leagues aren't going to be doing any of that. Yeah. So you're talking it could be months and months. It's just, yeah, it's going to be, it could be a little while.
So I'm hoping it's not going to be that long, but let's be honest, it's fucking going to be that long, isn't it? For how long it takes for it all to come back.
Unless you just tackle each other whilst looking away.
Oh yeah, there is that. We can definitely do that.
That's one of the biggest things I've ever heard, by the way.
Someone put on Twitter saying, are you actually telling me you're going to have to tell Phil Jones to do this?
There was talk about like cutting the halves as well, wasn't there? Like making there's talk about like them cutting the halves to like 40 minutes or something. 40 minutes and a half, which is like, what's 5 minutes going to make? It's going to make no difference at all.
I mean, if anything, it just proves why the Premier League is profit driven, solely profit driven, and nothing else really matters to them.
It is, yeah. One of the comments here is, are we worried about United coming sixth when it comes back? Not really. Here's the problem, though. If players don't want to return, you can't force them. I mean, I haven't heard of anybody at United that... I mean, United have handled everything fantastically in this lockdown, to be fair to them. So, you know, but what happens if somebody gets it? What happens if you're unable to fulfil your fixtures? What happens if, like, 4 or 5 of your players who all live in close proximity to each other, they all get it and all have to be quarantined? And do you not fulfil your fixtures? Do you wait until they've recovered or been quarantined for 2 weeks? Like, there's more questions than there is answers at the moment. I think it's highly irresponsible to be considering bringing it back at all. And I know that might be slightly hypocritical because I'm dying for us to get back, but the safety is paramount. You know, and ultimately, if it's safe for Premier League footballers to go back, yes, they're going to get more testing, but they're not testing me going in the fucking supermarket, are they? If it's safe for me to go in a supermarket and a petrol station, and if other businesses start to open up, I know amateur sport isn't going to be in that first wave of businesses that have to come back, or I know it's not probably not going to be in the second wave. But by the time you're allowed to the gym, surely amateur sport has come back by then. So, you know, it's certainly not going to happen next month. But there has to be some sort of a timescale for when this is going to be. I don't know if the fact that they're able to treat people a little bit better than previously is a factor. That, like I said, there's far too many questions and not enough answers about it. Is it purely reliant on a vaccine? How fucking long does it take you to immunise 60% of a planet?
Mm.
Probably a while, I would have thought.
Mm. Yeah, you just don't know. I mean, even like you look at the Premier League, the way they went about it, we were all going to play that weekend until Mikel Arteta got it.
Yeah, they were,
yeah.
It's like, yeah. That was a game changer, wasn't it? It was like, well, hang on a minute. Maybe we shouldn't do that. So you don't know how that's going to pan out if like you said, Steve, you know, one or two players get it, then all of a sudden, is that going to change the idea and change the plans? It seems a bit kind of sky to be thinking about any form of football this summer, but we'll see without a vaccine and without those measures you mentioned, but we'll see what happens. Like you said, it's, you know, there's a lot of money involved, so logic goes out the window, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. Any other questions we've got from everybody? Is COVID going to kill off the anti-vaxxers? No, it'll just mean they spread it quick. folks, on next season, this is done. I mean, yeah, totally. But it's not going to happen, is it? Bundesliga this weekend. Since this is our last podcast before weekend. What team are we going for? Are we going as a collective? That's who we now support? Or has everyone got their own vibe?
Well, that's a good idea. I wouldn't mind a collective so we can all, like, you know, it'd be like you get Man United. But I don't know anything about German football. So
it's the same as English football, but with a stronger accent.
Is that it? Is it the same rules?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, well, I'll go for the United, the German version of United then.
Which is Bayern Munich.
Bayern Munich.
How is it? All right.
Of course it is. Most successful club.
Yeah. So that's not very interesting, is it? I don't know. What about Dortmund? We'll go with Dortmund. What about Jadon Sancho, your mate?
Yeah, but they sing You'll Never Walk Alone. No, you've got the big Scouse connection.
No.
I quite like Union Berlin. Their fans are immense. They love it. They absolutely love it. Yeah. Proper ultras.
I've got a bit of a soft spot for Leverkusen.
So, I mean, everyone's got their own fucking team. Schalke did a big beg and give a reason why every Premier League team should follow them. Well, sorry, you should have gone with a targeted audience and you might have won. No one gives a fuck now. Leipzig is kind of seen as a plastic club because they're obviously owned by Red Bull and stuff like that, but I actually quite like what Leipzig stand for. And ultimately, all of the fans of Leipzig, Leipzig's a massive city in Eastern Germany, which had its team robbed from it. They had Lokomotive Leipzig, was actually the first winner of the Bundesliga when it started, and their team just folded. So yeah, it's a massive city. It's like having, like, imagine Newcastle if it was a successful footballing city without having a team. And then someone puts a team back in there. Yes, it, and you know, ultimately they still have to come all the way through the divisions. The pyramid's not as deep as it is in England, but they still had to come up through the divisions. So I do lean towards Leipzig. And yeah, as someone says there, owned by Red Bull, bad. Owned by a huge pharmaceutical company, good. Or Wolfsburg, they play at the Volkswagen Arena. They're sponsored by Volkswagen. It was literally a company team that's just been around for a long time now. There's no difference between them and Red Bull, really.
Do you know, now you mention it, though, I've forgotten about this, but I do have a bit of a soft spot for Schalke, just because of the Champions League. Was it like Darren Gibson and Anderson banging him in? Do you remember? That was the most bizarre semi-final ever.
And Neuer being amazing.
Yeah, it would have been about sweating hell if it weren't for him. And we still scored about five on aggregate, whatever it was. That was like, yeah, like that was weird, just like coasting through to the Champions League final. But yeah, I'm not really bothered. It'd just be good to watch some football as long as, you know, people aren't.
I'm going to do a five things we learned tomorrow. Five things to look forward to on Bundesliga for my channel. And I'll probably do a five things we learned as well, following it. But I'm not going to do a watch along. I think every man and his fucking dog's doing a watch along. So I'm just going to enjoy the match.
With more enthusiasm than others. Some of the watch alongs we've seen it recently have just been like, you know, come on.
Who's ours?
No, God, no. Yours is just run fueled madness.
Not seen an issue.
No, didn't mind it last time I was there because you got the chicken out, didn't you? So,
mate, this is what happens, right? I am a fat guy. What happens is I start drinking and I go, we need some tasty treats here, I think. And I end up spending a fucking fortune on Deliveroo.
It was mad though, that, because that last one, because it was like LASK behind closed doors. Like, everyone was banging.
Honestly, I don't remember the second half.
I know you missed, like, I had to keep telling you, you scored, like, we scored again. Look at that. Igalo's just scored one of the best goals I've ever seen. Mason's come on. Mason scored. Pereira's come on. Even Pereira's getting in on it. It was mad.
I was, McCola's got, is that the game McCola did a vlog from, like, after the game?
Yeah. Where you were falling around everywhere.
That's worth checking out for a laugh.
I'm gutted. You were right, because we did the Spurs preview afterwards, and I should have just put it out for Devils, but I didn't, because I thought, oh, there's no game. But I should have done, because it was hilarious. It was,
is
like,
it still on there?
I don't know, you know. Because McCola, this is how bad it is. McCola was trying to be all professional and talk about the game and tactics and the starting 11, and you were just absolutely chatting broken biscuits. Not interested.
Hang on,
did we
record it on this computer? It'll be on this computer.
If
I'm on it now.
If it's on, right, we'll get it out, mate, because it was just, I don't care.
I'll stick it on my Patreon. Yeah, if it is.
Honestly, mate, I'm a big regret that I didn't, because it was hilarious. And right, it was, and like, so
OBS recordings. What was the date?
The LASK game. LASK. And United, was it 5-0? I thought it was 6-0. It's 5-0, wasn't it? I've even got alcohol to blame for not remembering. The 12th of March.
12th of March?
It may be the 13th, because it was late. We might have done it over midnight. I don't think so. I think it's probably about 10 o'clock.
12th of March.
You sent it me, but I don't think I downloaded it in time.
I think I've got it. Let me just click on this link and see.
I love it, because it's the only time I've ever seen Macca, like, trying to keep everything together and be all like, come on, we've got a job to do here. And you just having none of it.
Oh, no, that looks like, hang on, what time's that? 12th of March. Oh, no, that's 13th of March at 12:02.
In the morning?
I've got, oh, it wasn't that late, was it? Because I'm thinking it was midnight, because it was a European game, but it kicked off early.
Ah, yeah, sorry, yeah, you're right.
Right. Quarter to nine.
I can hear my dulcet tones there.
Yep, we got it. It starts with you saying, we're going to try and do a Spurs preview.
Send it to me, just for my own amusement.
Right, all right, I'll retransfer it to you. All right, yeah, buzzing. Patrons, I'll stick that out today as a little bit of extra content for you.
It's worth watching. It's just nonsense, but it's funny.
All right. Cheers for tuning in, everybody. Make sure to go and give all these guys a follow. Alex, you've been doing some writings again this week for us on Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, a few people going out every day on there.
If you keep an eye on the socials for on Twitter, especially for Paddock, there's like 3 or 4 articles a day that are going up. We've got a partnership with Sports Illustrated, which is not a small deal in the grand scheme of things, actually. So you can get United content over there on one of the biggest websites in the world. Alex is doing a lot of them. Kieran's doing a lot of them. Mitz is doing quite a lot of them. So go check them out.
I just thought I need to do one.
Yeah, do
just so I can say I've written for Sports Illustrated. I'm not even kidding. I'm being deadly serious. That's what I want on my bucket list, and I've never done it. So
yeah, you can do it. You could do it in the next hour. You could do it. Like,
so right, I'll see what articles you do, mate, and I'll send one over.
Right, buzzing. Cheers, everyone, for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe. Content coming out right throughout the week. I'm sure there's going to be a scout report following this weekend on everybody that we're linked to. And also look forward to whoever... Right, I'm going to put this out there now because I know this is going to happen. Someone we've not been linked to scores a goal this weekend and is linked to us next week for SEO purposes. Watch it out. Right, it's going to happen. Trust me. Right, see you in the next one. Laters.